down to the farm this weekend.
Okay. Welcome to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells. Jared's here.
I'm here. Hello.
We're trying some new things. Becky's here, too. She's trying to be helpful.
She's very helpful.
Yeah, she's very helpful. Yeah. Okay. I'm supposed to tell you about Barty Farms, which is a place that I have been to that I love. Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. Okay, I have to add to this that they have outrageous selections of flowering plants and vegetable plants and cool things, unusual things, and just a tremendous selection. And for whatever reason, that wasn't included. So I wanted to add that myself because I think my experience there was that the place was phenomenal with their choices. So I'm just throwing that in because it's true. So, all right, I'm going to give the phone number. I need somebody to call because I'm just all at, what's that expression? Sixes and sevens. Have you ever heard that expression?
I have not, but yeah. It's pretty clear.
Yes, yes, I'm at sixes and sevens. We need to find out where that came from because that's a cool expression.
Yes.
Definitely, probably a lot of sevens here. So if you could give me a call so I could chat with you because my brain is in a tizzy. The number is, what is the number? 545-9282, right? Did I get that right? Okay, because
right.
I don't have the phone here with the number to double check. If you're out of the 732 area, it's 1-888-545-9282. And if you give us a call, we will get you on the air right away, and I'll let you do most of the talking because, like I said, sixes and sevens, throw in a few 11s. I'm just, you know, kind of a mess here. So so give us a call, and we'll answer your gardening questions, okay? Now, Jared, do you need to sit here?
No, I'm good. I can sit right over here. This is a little odd. But
cozy. It's cozy. We're cozy.
Yeah.
Okay, very cozy.
But we've been working together long enough that it's not
Weird. Like 10 years, 12 years?
Something,
I don't know.
About, yeah.
Yeah, a very long time. So, okay. So I will tell you what I've been doing. First of all, I started out, maybe it's my fault. Everything's my fault because I was in a really weird mood when I got here because I ruined the meatloaf last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I went online. I made two very large meatloaves because I wanted to bring one to Jack today. You know, I feed him when he's not on, you know. And so I figured, okay, well, I was having company. I'd make meatloaf. I'd make two meatloaves. I made 2 3-pound meatloaves. You know how much meatloaf that is?
That's a lot of meatloaf.
Yeah, and I make them really kind of, you know, complicated. I don't make just, you know, throw some beef in the oven. And I put some ground lamb and some ground pork and some Italian sausage meat. And what else did I put in there? Onions and raisins and some celery and mozzarella, shredded mozzarella cheese.
Ooh.
And no, I went on.
Question for you. Now, do you use the, like, is it all beef or do you use the meatloaf mix? Or do you make your own meatloaf mix?
Well, I mostly make my own meatloaf mix, but I was having trouble finding ground veal. So I bought a pack of meatloaf mix because there was ground veal in there.
Right. They did. Yeah.
And when I opened it, it smelled weird.
Oh, no.
So I didn't use it. And so I used my own pork, my own beef, my own ground lamb, which you can find pretty regularly now. Not, I don't use it as much ground lamb as everything else, but it gives it a little extra flavor.
Yeah.
And I went online. I was like, okay, how long do I cook these huge meatloaves? And it said to cook them 35 to 45 minutes a pound. So I put them in, and I like things on the rare side. So I put them in based on 35 minutes a pound, which comes out to like an hour and 45 minutes. I took it out, and it was ruined.
Oh, no.
I went back. Even though I had checked more than one recipe, apparently, when I went and looked more, when you get over 2 pounds, you reduce the amount per pound. And it should have only been an hour and 20 minutes, not an hour and 45 minutes. So I cooked it for 25 minutes too long. And
I guess because more
retains the heat or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to I'm trying to figure out the science.
Yeah, well, I should have done that before I put it in the oven. Yeah. So poor Jack's not getting meatloaf today. But I did bring him a huge container of homemade turkey soup that I just made last week that I froze. So I'll, you know, he'll have that. And it was real. The turkey soup came out really good. But I was so upset with myself that I had to serve this horrible meatloaf. Tommy keeps saying I'm too hard on myself. I am a little hard on myself. And that it wasn't that bad. And I'm thinking maybe in a sandwich smothered in ketchup, you know, like.
Still, but if you've been doing this, you know, for, you know, a while.
I expected it to come out.
Yeah.
You know, the way it should have come out. But because I never make them that big and I just, and I misjudged. So poor Jack, I hope he's not mad at me. But anyway, so I was in here driving in, beating myself up over this meatloaf. And so I think it was my karma that just made everything go crazy. Because usually I come in here and I'm in a really good mood. You know, I love coming here.
Yeah.
But I think it was my fault. Poor meatloaf. I have so much crappy meatloaf. I just,
oh, no.
I mean, I have, you know, what am I going to do with all this? The dogs would love it. I mean, it wasn't like completely destroyed, but.
Can we invite people to the, oh, you didn't bring any with you. I was saying invite people to the studio to have like a taste test.
Yeah, it was really, if I do it again, I don't know when I'll do it again, but now I know if I'm going to make one that big, you know, how to do it. It was a tough lesson, but the rest of the dinner came out great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know, everything else was really good, but so I think it's all my fault. But anyway, other than ruining the meatloaf yesterday, I've been, of course, you know, doing a lot of work outside and very excited because I was able to get the Juniperus virginiana Taylor. Okay, Juniperus virginiana is just American red cedar. It's not anything that one would normally get too excited about. But the Taylor variety is very tall and very skinny, very skinny. And I saw it initially at Longwood Gardens. And I saw it there. And I'm always looking for tall, skinny things because of the big, ugly building next door.
Right.
And where the big, ugly building is right.
You've got to put stuff in front of it.
Yes.
You don't want to see a big, ugly building.
Right. I don't want to see a big, ugly building. And in addition to that, where the big ugly building is where the barn is. So the yard, which is not particularly wide, it's an acre, but the acre is like 100 by 500. It's a little more than an acre. It's an acre, you know, it's long and skinny. So where the barn is, it gets really narrow because the barn takes up, you know, quite a bit of space in the backyard. And that's where the big ugly building is. So you really want to try to put narrow things. Hence the dead trees that we put in, you know, that we use as a trellis to grow vines up. And I wanted these Taylor junipers to go in because they'll stay nice and skinny. Well, I tried several places. And finally, this place called Calgo Gardens was able to find them for me. A new place I've never been before. A friend of mine took me there. And people were so nice. They were really great. And there were four things I was looking for, and the only one they were able to find was the Taylor junipers. But they came in at between 7 and 8 feet. That's big.
Yeah.
That's big. And I had hoped to get something more along the lines of 3 or 4 feet so that I could plant them myself. Mm. At 7 to 8 feet.
It's a little.
Yeah, it's going to need some manpower, I hate to say, a little testosterone thrown in there help move those around. So Tommy and I are going to plant them together, and I'm going to go pick them up tomorrow. They're also everything. Have you noticed how expensive everything's getting, Jared?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's so expensive. So I would have liked six, but I could only really afford three. So I'm going to get three, but they're going to already be taller than the fence, which is, you know, a very good thing. All right. So let me give the phone number again. It's 545-9282, and who have we got? We have somebody.
We have Bob from Piscataway.
Bob from Piscataway. Okay, we're gonna try to get Bob on the phone. Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, we're having a variety of challenges here today.
Okay,
Jared's doing his very best, pushing all kinds of magic buttons.
Bob, if I hang up on you, I apologize.
Bob, can you hear me yet? Not yet? Okay. So anyway, I'm going to go pick up these trees tomorrow, and they'll load them onto the truck, so I don't have to worry about that. And I can drive the truck right into the backyard, and then we can just roll them into where we want to put them. And I think they're going to be a really nice addition at that in that section where it really is starting to get narrow. So, and we're trying to create this thing where we're making rooms in the backyard. So there's the Garden of Ancient Ruins, that's one room, and the Veggie Garden, that's a room. So this is going to be, in this section, sort of like a little wooded area with lots of things in there.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Bob, call back.
Well, oh, we disconnected, Bob?
Yeah.
These magic buttons seem to have lost their fairy dust. They're not working.
Do you see how many there are here, though? I mean, that's kind of...
There's a lot of buttons.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't usually get to see all these buttons. Okay, so... where was I? So, yeah, so these junipers are coming, and I'm kind of excited about that. So that'll be tomorrow. Not sure I'll get them planted tomorrow, but I will definitely go pick them up, unless it's going to rain. Is it supposed to rain like crazy? I don't think so. I think it's supposed to rain later this morning, So I don't think tomorrow, because I don't really want to go pick them up in the rain. But do we know what the weather's supposed to be, Jared?
Like 50s, possibly rain starting Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow looks like a perfect day to go get them. Yeah. Low 37 to 56, partly sunny. Mm-hmm. So today is supposed to rain, but tomorrow will be perfect. I'll go get those trees, and I should have them in time for the plant exchange.
Nice.
All right, do we have Bob?
We have Bob from Piscataway.
Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, you have no idea how exciting that is that you can hear me, because none of the magic buttons are doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, just remember to breathe.
Yeah, I'm trying. A little stressed. Thank God for Jared. I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for him. So what can I do for you today?
Okay. I'm growing lots of, plants, peppers and tomatoes.
Yes.
I have all different kinds of grow lights. I've worked really hard this year on keeping the grow lights the right height over the plants.
Right. That means you have to move them almost every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I have different types. One is called the full sunlight, which is like a bright yellow. Then I have the fluorescence, and I have full spectrum lighting. So I rotate them so they each get a taste of everything. But
that's dedication, Bob. That's definitely dedication.
Oh, it's fun. They're
it's
my
fun.
Babies.
Right. Right. I understand.
They're growing.
Right.
And yet I still have some plants that are on the leggy side. And, I mean, they're working on now their third or fourth true leaf. I was wondering what else could lead to legginess. And is it just certain type of plants? Like the Ruckers are growing like that, and of all things, my Cherokee Purples are growing like that. Yet the other plants, are squat, or they're nice and they all have full, thick leaves on them. But what else would cause legginess if it's not the lighting?
Well, certainly varietal differences. Genetically, will make some difference there. I'm having a similar experience with the broccoli and cauliflower, which are about as closely related as two plants can be. They're the same genus and species, just different varieties. So the broccoli is all leggy, and the cauliflower is nice and tight, and they're growing right next to each other.
Okay.
So there's definitely a variety thing going on there. The other thing is, a little too much nitrogen. Have you been fertilizing them?
No, I haven't, but I was wondering if over or under watering them would make a difference.
Watering affects everything, but in this case, I don't know if you're watering them the same, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying this year, I'm trying some new things, and I'm growing them in 3-inch square potting cells in the trays, and I've never really done that before.
3-inch square, that's big.
Yeah, well, these plants are now, they could be transplanted already into, a bigger pot or whatever. They all grew in those pots. Everything worked out really well, but I'm hesitant to bottom water in the trays. I have done that once before, and it failed for me. So, you know, one tray of plants, I did bottom water, and they just sucked it up too much, and they got really wet. And so I'm kind of like, I water from the top, but real carefully, so.
Yeah, I water from the top. So did you use different potting soils, or is it all the same?
No, there's all the same potting soil. Yeah. I have a lot of success with one particular type I've been using for years, so that's the only one I use.
So I would say...
seed starting soil, I should say.
I would say then, based on that it's a difference in variety. That's the only thing that makes sense, you know, that there is some difference in the varieties. And the fact that they're getting leggy, and we're talking mostly tomatoes, right?
Right. Okay. The peppers are looking good.
Okay. At least it's tomatoes, because tomatoes you can plant deep. And if they're leggy, you can plant them up, you know, you can even take off some of the lower leaves and plant them really deep. And then the legginess becomes not an issue because they'll thicken up and the stem underground will put out more roots. So you can fudge around that with the tomatoes.
Yeah.
You can't really
do
it with anything else because everything else will rot. But the tomatoes are real flexible that way. So the ones that are a little leggy, you plant them a little deeper. As long as they're nice and green and upright, you should be fine.
Yeah, no, and that's personally for my garden, that's what I do. I grow, a lot of plants because I like to give them away to my friends and people that I know. So those people, I don't really want to give them a leggy plant. I have done that and told them, okay, you need to bury this thing. I always tell them, bury them up to the neck almost, you know, to the set of top leaves. Cut off most of the others if you can and then get them in there as deep as you can. So that's not an issue. The legginess I'm concerned about is that the point is between now and, let's say, May 15th, you know, these things are going to get really tall. And with the legginess, unless the stem gets nice and thick, they're going to be a little weak. So I'll just have to keep dealing with
it. Okay, I have another question for you. How do you grow your tomatoes? Do you cage them or do you stake them?
I cage them. I have staked them in the past, but I invested in a lot of colorful cages that are all throughout my garden. So I usually will cage them.
Those ones that are like come in metallic bright colors?
Yeah.
I love them. They make me
really
happy
cool.
Just to look at them.
Yeah. So I have yellow, purple, green, red cages. It looks sharp. And they're nice and thick, too. Those cages are really solid cages. They're pricey, but again, it's an investment forever, so it's okay. So, I do that. But even last year, I think you had mentioned that some of my tomatoes got 8 foot tall, and they just doubled over. You know,
yeah, I had that problem with all the rain. Okay, but since you use cages... Here's an option. You can pinch them back.
Oh, even now?
Yeah.
No. Yeah?
Well, you know, how you said you have multiple sets of true leaves on there, right?
Yes.
So if you just pinch back the tiny growing tip.
Okay.
Just try it on a couple and see what happens. I wouldn't do them all. But if you pinch them back, then the side shoots will grow. And they won't be so tall.
I was thinking of doing that, but I didn't know if you should do that before they get in the ground, But to try a couple wouldn't hurt. I have enough growing to, you know, mess around with a few of those few varieties that are leggy, just to give it a shot.
I wouldn't recommend it if you were going to stake them, because you need the primary trunk, so to speak, in order to tie them to the stake. But if you're going to cage them, then having multiple branches is okay. So I would try it. Now, personally, what I think the real problem is that you start them too early.
And, you know, every year I keep a journal. Every year I write, start them later. Every year I start them later. But I guess the system I have is it works good. And, I mean, I get germination within 4 days a lot of times with tomatoes,
sure.
Which is... You know, like I wasn't expecting that. So this year I didn't start these until a week. You said you were going to start yours 2 weeks ago, I think. I started mine a week before yours, and yet they're growing so fast. Also, one other question. I use my light system. I keep it on for 12 to 13 hours a day. Is that too long? Or as I try to keep it on as long as there's sunlight outside plus an hour. Is that too much?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So it's not that either.
No, I don't think it's that.
Because I know if it's too little light, they'll reach for light, and
yes,
then that would cause
absolutely.
Light.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
I don't think that's a problem. And
I think it's more the varietal.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I better get up there and start working.
Well, you know, pinch a few and let me know how they do. I want to report next week. Can you do that?
I'm scared to do it, but I guess
Well, how many how many tomato plants do you have altogether?
Oh, Lord, over 100.
Okay. So
yeah, I can afford to lose a few, definitely.
I don't think you'll lose them. And when I talk about pinching, I mean really pinching, not pruning. And the reason that you do that, it's all chemical. The place where it's growing at the tip actually produces a chemical that prevents the side buds from growing. So you just have to remove that growing tip. You don't have to cut an inch off. You just and pinch it.
Right.
And then that should allow the side branches to grow. So you're not losing a lot of leaf surface by doing this, so I don't...
That doesn't affect the plant as it matures throughout the next few months.
Well, most, if you cage them, they put out secondary branches anyway.
Right, yeah.
So, I've never actually done this. This is based on, you know, a vast amount of experience with plants in general, but you definitely, when you pinch a plant and you remove the growth hormones that are in there, it's actually a growth retardant that prevents them from growing. It's what you do with begonias. It's what you do with chrysanthemums. It's what you do, you know, with a wide variety of things. It's even when you prune the hedges. That's what you're doing. You're removing the growing tips and it branches further back. So it should work. Again, with tomatoes, you know, I wouldn't try it with every one, but I think if you do 5%, or you could try one of each variety and see what happens. You know, just a little bit just to see. And if it works, then you know you can try it again.
No, sounds good. I'm going to give it a try.
All right, well, I'm excited.
I'll let you know.
This is research, Bob. You and I are doing research.
This is research.
Yes.
It goes to my journal, so I will write whether or not it works.
All right.
I'll know for the future.
All right, well, have fun and let me know.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so did that button work?
That button worked.
Oh, that button worked. Yep. Okay, good. So... do we need to take a break?
Do you need a break? I think we could take a break.
Yeah, well, let's take a break. But let me give the number. It's 545-9282 outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282. And we'll be right back.
Here's the updated weather forecast for your Sunday. It looks like showers with us throughout the daytime. It'll be variably cloudy. Our highs will reach the middle 50s. South winds at 5 to 15. A bit gusty during the afternoon. And for tonight, still the possibility of some showers for the evening, then becoming mostly clear overnight. Nighttime lows from about 35 to 40. Mostly sunny on Monday, 58 for a high. Tuesday, maybe a late day shower. Clouds and sun, highs near 61. Showers likely on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
42 degrees in Central Jersey.
Listen to Fox Sports New Jersey everywhere.
Everywhere.
Online at foxsportsradionewjersey.com.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC.
Get a $1,000 credit at closing when you're approved for a mortgage from Magyar Bank. Whether it's your first home or your forever home, Magyar Bank has the mortgage you need. Choose from their flexible terms and you'll get a competitive rate. Plus, Magyar Bank's mortgage professionals will be with you every step of the way. Visit magbank.com today to apply for a mortgage from Magyar Bank before June 30th. And approved applicants could get a $1,000 credit at closing. The perfect home. Don't dream it, live it with a mortgage from Magyar Bank. Visit magbank.com for their current rates and apply today. Magyar Bank, simply magnificent for 100 years. Visit magbank.com today. Offer subject to credit approval. Magyar Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Magyar Bank, Magyar Bank, working together as one. Magbank.com.
To win a free pair of tickets.
A free pair of tickets.
To see the New Jersey Devils take on the Montreal Canadiens at the Prudential Center Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets available now at NewJerseyDevils.com/tickets.
It's
slices, it dices. With razor-like edges that never need sharpening, it's not a blender. It's not a set of steak knives. It's Car Windshield. And now, it can be yours. Here's how. Next time you're in a car and the driver's driving recklessly, simply say nothing. That's right. Let them change CDs. Let them text on their phones. Ignore that little voice in your head that's trying to warn you. And you too can experience Car Windshield. Passengers who have tried Car Windshield agree. It's a smash. Car Windshield may not be for everyone, as it can lead to severe side effects and even death. Please consult your physician after you've experienced Car Windshield. Passengers who wish to avoid Car Windshield can do so by following simple steps, like trusting their instincts, speaking up, and telling their friends to slow down.
In the real world, there is no spokesperson to prevent reckless driving. There's only you. Speak up.
Act now. Paramedics are standing by.
This has been a message from the Ad Council. For more information, go to youarethespokesperson.com.
Babe! Babe!
I'm right here.
Oh, hey. Could you tie my shoes? Because, you know, I can't with...
Your lobster claw hands. You know, I don't think this is working out.
I hope this isn't because of my... Because if it is, I think that's pretty superficial of you.
What? Yes. No. You're a karmic nightmare. I mean, why do you think you suddenly grew lobster claws for hands?
It's just a bug or something.
You have bad karma. What were you doing right before the claws?
Nothing. Shooting bottle rockets at paddle boats.
Right. So maybe some good karma, like helping out in the community, working at a soup kitchen, something.
Or maybe there's a lotion or something, a cream.
Lobster boy cream?
Yeah, something like that. Okay, fine. Hug?
No.
Stay on the universe's good side. Volunteer, vote, get involved, and get yourself to getgoodkarma.org. Getgoodkarma.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Okay, welcome back to the Garden Show. Who have we got?
First, we have John from North Brunswick.
Hey, John. John?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. We're a little stressful here this morning, but we're doing good. We're figuring it out.
I'm not going to ask about the fig trees, although you can give me a report on yours.
Okay. Mine are doing well. The one that's outside, has not started to leaf out yet, but it is quite viable. So it looks good, made it through the weird weather. And the one inside looks magnificent, covered in foliage, looks really good.
Yeah.
So
I'm
happy.
Same situation.
Okay.
I'm calling today. When I was in North Carolina last summer, I was fascinated that, the people next to the house we were renting had pomegranates growing, and I was inspired, so I've planted seeds, and I've got them coming up. I don't think that they'll survive outside, similar to a fig tree. I think you'd need to protect them in this climate, but I was just wondering if you've had any experience growing pomegranates.
I've had... Actually, that's very interesting that you should bring pomegranates up, because I love pomegranates. As I said earlier, I had company for dinner, and I made a really nice salad, and I love to throw pomegranate seeds in my salad. I think they just add color and crunch and flavor, and they're great. When I was growing up as a small child, we called them Chinese apples. Did you remember that? Yes.
I've heard you talk about it.
Yes.
I've never...
You know. So do you remember that, John? Do you remember calling them that?
Definitely.
And... Yep. I loved them. They were wonderful. And so believe it or not, last year I bought a tiny plant and I put it out. And the last time I checked, which was it was a couple weeks ago, it had survived the winter. But that was before the winter got weird. And, you know, went dramatically from an extremely mild winter to a kind of unpleasant winter, which was not particularly unpleasant as winters go, but it came, you know, the timing of it with things not being particularly cold weather tolerant, it may have taken its, taken a hit as a result. I haven't checked it since then. But I planted it outside and I didn't protect it, because if I have to protect it, I'm not going to want to deal with it. I have too much to do to go out there and protect it. So I was hoping it's in a good spot. It's in a protected spot. I was very careful about that. So I will give a report. But they are listed as hardy to zone 7, which is where I am. But a lot of things that are listed as hardy to zone 7 are not reliably hardy long term. You know, like they might survive for a couple of years and then something will happen and it will zap them. So we'll see if it survived this winter. And of course, each year that it survives, that it gets bigger and thicker, it increases its chance of surviving another year. But if you get one really bad winter, then it could do that in. So I will report. I will check this week and let you know how mine's doing next week you can, you know, have a little bit more information. The plant that I got was no great shakes. I was very disappointed in the quality of the plant that arrived. And I planted it, and I thought it was dead. And it came back like gangbusters. It got to be 18 inches tall, and when I got it, it was only like 4 inches tall. And the 4 inches died back, and then it started all over, and it got to be about 18 inches tall. So it was more robust than I would have thought in one growing season. So So we'll see.
I've got a pot that's, you know, where I put the seeds, and there's a lot of stuff growing up. So I plan to just leave the pot on the patio for the summer to see how it does, and then maybe I'll plant it in the fall.
All right, here's a question. Did you buy seed, or did you buy a pomegranate and try to dry the seed?
No, I took it out of the pomegranate, yes.
Okay, and they germinated for you. So did you cut off the fleshy part and get right down to the seed, or did you plant the whole thing, or did you let it just sort of dry out? I'm very curious how you did this to get them to germinate.
Yeah, I found suggestions on the internet. I basically rolled the seeds so that the juice came out and dried it out a little bit first.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That also sounds really messy.
No, not with a paper towel.
Okay, so you rolled them in a paper towel. Okay, well that makes sense. But they are pretty juicy, and that red is red. That is very red. So, okay, well, let me know. But the fact that you got them to germinate, that's great. And keep me posted on how your seeds are doing, and I'll give you a report next week for how the plant is doing. And we'll see. And we'll compare notes. Okay?
Have a good week.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling. All right, bye-bye now. All right, who's next?
Next is Michael from Metuchen.
Oh, Michael, how are you?
I'm okay. Yourself?
I'm struggling here, but with magic buttons that are you know, dark magic today. But besides that, I'm great.
Good. I have a question before my question.
Yes.
You said something earlier about 6-7. What does that mean?
It's an expression. We need to look it up. I've heard it. I heard it recently, but I've heard it many times over the years. The expression is, I'm at sixes and sevens.
Oh, okay.
And it means you're discombobulated, basically.
Okay.
But I don't know the origin of it. So if we were under a better technical situation here, I'd have Jared look it up. But since I'm sitting in his chair, he can't. So
makes sense.
So we're definitely struggling in that arena, but that's what it means. Yes. You're at you're at discombobulated, which I am most definitely.
Well, hopefully all that straightens out and things get better, because it looks like the winter might actually be going away.
I hope so. I lost a lot of stuff this week. You know, not lost, but
because of what you said.
Yeah, the weather just really turned, and I had a pink deciduous azalea that is the most wonderful shade of pink. It's really a rich, bright pink. It's not a Pepto-Bismol pink. It's prettier than that. Mm-hmm. And it was covered in flowers. It was so pretty, and that's all the flowers are gone. And two camellias were covered in flowers, a red one and a peach-colored one, covered, gone. And the forsythias look kind of pathetic. You know, they're not The flowers aren't off, but they don't look very good.
Hmm. So that's interesting, because this is now the fourth year where the winter, the fall graded into winter, and then the winter wasn't as cold as you might think, although it had cold time periods, and then the end of March was colder than the beginning of March.
Yes.
And the previous 3 years, what happened was the winter never actually went away till the end of May, and then it was summer.
Yes, and that's not necessarily great for plants. So
or people.
Or people. Well, yeah, yeah, true. But
in other words, better not snow and whatever than snow, but better if it warms up in the spring.
Yes, and better if everything is gradual instead of plummeting and surging.
Like the fall is.
Yes, so yeah. So we'll see. Okay, so Jared looked up on my phone the phrase sixes and sevens, and it says its most likely origin of the phrase is from a dice game called Hazard, and it's a claims to be a more complicated version of the modern day game craps. Do you ever shoot craps? I know my father used to do it. I've never done it.
No, I'm not a gambler.
No, me
numbers
but,
are not there.
But that's where it came from. And then it says a British entomologist writing on his website in linguistics says it is thought that the expression was originally to set on cinq and seis from the French numerals for five and six. These were apparently the most risky numbers to shoot, and anyone who tried for them was considered careless or confused. So it has to do with, you know, dice and throwing dice and you know, all kinds of dice games. But it definitely, the final meaning of it is to describe a condition of confusion or disarray.
Okay.
So there
Thank you.
There you
Definitely
there you have it, today. Which is
basically what you said.
Yes, and it's also basically what we're going through right now. So, yes. So anything else I can do for you today?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you say a week or more ago that you were at one point looking for pine cones?
I did, but I got them. I went over to Jack's, and he allowed me to take as many as I wanted, and I got an abundance, and then Nancy brought me some as well. And since then, the pine cones that were on the top of my columnar white pines that were way up there and still attached have since fallen.
Huh.
So now I have my own pine cones. Not that there's a lot, because those trees are relatively young in terms of pine cone production, but I have a bunch on the ground that I can pick up if I need them. So I'm in good shape. But I can say absolutely that they work for keeping the cats out of the big pots. So, which is, you know, a lovely, they look really nice. They cover the soil and you can water through them, but the cats don't like to walk on them. My cat doesn't. And I know of other people that have tried it either before and reinforced that or since then, and it works and looks good. So,
well, people also don't like to walk on pine cones.
But that is correct. And you don't even like to mow pine cones. It's not good for anything. But but yes, so it works. And I'm very, very happy to report that. So
good. Because the reason I ask is yesterday I was talking to somebody who was finishing up her yard for the springtime. And she said what she had decided to do this year as she went around her yard is to gather up the pine cones. And we were just having a conversation, and she said, and she has a big pile of pine cones, and she just hates to just throw them away.
Well, I would suggest that they get brought to the plant exchange, because all those people that are going to come that want cats, that have cats that want to protect their plants, would probably be happy to take them.
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can get them.
So, I mean, that would be a good use for them. And
okay.
Then people also take them for craft things.
Okay, I'll see if I can get some of those.
Yeah, that would be a great thing to have at the plant exchange, pile of pine cones. That'd be fun.
Good, and they're various. They're not all one variety, but they're like a whole, because she has all kinds of different pine and spruce trees and stuff.
Well, they all work. I think the pine.